Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, October 11th, 2009.
This morning we're going to continue our series of lessons on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. No study of the Holy Spirit would be complete without examining Paul's teaching to the Corinthians on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. We'll read the first 11 verses, chapters 12, 13, and 14 are all directed toward this theme, these truths concerning how the Spirit manifests Himself among God's people in the local assembly. These chapters are dismissed by many fundamentalists. If they teach on it at all, it's very hit and miss, and they simply don't want to deal with what Paul spent three chapters dealing with. And they misunderstand it, they misapply it, or they ignore it altogether. Well, I don't want to ignore anything that the Lord has for me. And so we want to take time to consider this morning. We'll begin by reading the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. This is a subject, a doctrine, a truth we need to understand. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through or by the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as He, that is the Holy Spirit, wills. We are going to consider the specific nine gifts or graces or abilities that are given here by the Apostle Paul, that are given to individual believers for the good of the body of Christ. But we're going to wait for our next lesson to deal with them specifically, to understand what they are and what they describe and how they manifest themselves in a local assembly. This morning, I want us to understand, before we actually get to those specific gifts that are listed here, I want us to understand the context in which these gifts are mentioned, because you will not be able to understand the gifts if you do not understand the context. So we're going to spend some time this morning considering the context in which Paul dealt with these things. As I mentioned, chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul deals with this subject, but you need to understand that Paul did not intend, as he did, for example, when he wrote the letter to the Romans. Paul's intent when he wrote the Romans was to line out doctrinal statements about what he believed concerning specifically justification by faith and faith alone. He wanted to take them step by step through basically a doctrinal treatise on justification by faith. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he wrote these chapters, 12, 13, and 14, it was not his intention to put forth a systematic explanation of the nine specific gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's doing here. He wrote to address and to correct the carnal thinking and therefore the carnal practice of the Corinthians in the local assembly there at Corinth concerning their thinking and their practice of the spiritual gifts and how the Spirit manifested himself in that local assembly. So his purpose here is that of correction. It is to deal with their carnal thinking and their carnal practice. Carnal thinking always leads to carnal practice, by the way. But there are two different aspects you need to consider. The Corinthians were using the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in order to exalt themselves and draw attention to themselves as individuals. That's what they were using these gifts for, many of them. The result, of course, whenever that takes place among God's people is chaos, confusion, carnality, and division. And that is exactly what the condition of the church at Corinth was. The antidote that Paul gives them for that corruption was the love chapter of chapter 13. First of all, he deals with the corruption, and then he gives them the antidote. Many people don't think that's what chapter 13 of Corinthians is all about, because it's a standalone, wonderful passage. How many have in your house maybe something on the wall that says, love is the 13th chapter of Corinthians? How many have something? Many people have it around through the house. Do you realize that the reason that was given was to deal with these carnal thinking and practices concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit? When the love of God is what motivates everything that we do and say, the result will always be unity and edification of the body of Christ. When we love with the love of Christ. Who is it that enables us to love the way that 1 Corinthians 13, if you're not familiar, I'm making an assumption here, which I shouldn't, but if you're not familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, read that, and then think about what I'm saying and what I've said here. Who is able to make us love with that divine godly love that's defined for us in 1 Corinthians 13? It is only by the Holy Spirit. I can't love. It's not in me to love like God wants me to love you. You can't love me like you should as my brother and sister in Christ, except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is what Paul was dealing with. It's the Holy Spirit that spreads abroad the love of God in our heart. And if we are acting in love, it will not produce chaos and division, pride and arrogance, but rather the opposite of those things. As we study these chapters, we can learn a lot about how the Holy Spirit works among God's people in the local assembly. Often these gifts are referred to as the body gifts or the body ministry. I don't really have a problem with that, because that's certainly what it is. This is a corporate manifestation of the Holy Spirit among God's people when we gather together in Jesus' name. That's what we're talking about here. And we can learn a lot about how the Holy Spirit works among us and wants to work among God's people by studying these passages. But if we just concentrate on how, then we're going to miss the point of Paul's teaching. Because what he's explaining to the Corinthians here is why the Holy Spirit manifests himself among God's people in these different ways. Why he gives certain individuals certain gifts to be exercised in love. And this is what we want to understand from Paul's teaching here. The Corinthians had completely overlooked what Paul wanted to remind them of. They were ignorant of why the Holy Spirit gave these gifts, and they were corrupting them. In verse 1, Paul uses that the English is, it's difficult to translate what's written in the Greek, because in the Greek it's literally, now concerning spirituals. Now, in the English, we would think we're talking about black hymns. Oh, spirituals. No, that's not what he's talking about. Concerning those things which pertain to and emanate from the Spirit. That's an expanded translation of this one word in the Greek. The things that pertain to and emanate from the Spirit. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the things that come from him. Not only how he works, but why. To begin to teach that, he contrasts what they were before they were saved. He said, before you were saved, you were Gentile idolaters. You were carried away. You were led away captive, is the thought, by your idolatry. Because in idolatry, basically, the individual could do whatever they wanted to do. They were led by their deceitful lusts, or they were deceived by the idolatrous priests that had their own agenda. You were deceived and led away by yourself or by the flesh of others. You were carried away. But Paul says, now that you are believers in Jesus Christ, you belong to the body of Christ. And things are done differently in the body. This is something we need to be reminded of, because we live in a time and a society where everybody wants to dictate what we do and how we think. From the government to Hollywood to the church at large, everybody wants to dictate what we're supposed to do and think. But as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, that's not how it works. We have one head, Jesus Christ, only one. We have the very breath of the Holy Spirit that empowers and energizes this body. We are to be led by the Spirit, who knows the mind of Christ. And now we are to be led by one triune God, who have one purpose, one nature. So there's not going to be a lot of conflicting ideas. Those that tell you, you could look at different churches that'll tell you to do different things. You can look at the government, you can look at Hollywood, and this is right, this is correct. You get a lot of conflicting ideas out there, don't you? In the body of Christ, that doesn't happen if you're listening to the Spirit. And this is Paul's point. In verses 4 through 6 of this 12th chapter, he emphasizes that there, in the body of Christ, there are diversities, but within the unity that there is in Christ. We are to be led by the Spirit of God to walk in fellowship with the living God. In the body of Christ, nothing is understood. Nothing is done without the direction and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. The statement that Paul wrote here, that's an amazing statement. You cannot even say, and for it to be a true conviction of your heart, you cannot say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. That's how essential the Holy Spirit is. Nothing is done that has any eternal worth apart from the Holy Spirit. He's got a pretty important place in the scheme of things, doesn't he? Don't you think we need to know not only how he works, but why? The body of Christ is characterized by unity, not division. And so even though there are diversities in the body of Christ and diversities in how the Holy Spirit works and even the Godhead, there are diversities in what their responsibilities are in this redemptive plan of God. But the unity is there. No contradiction, no confusion. The Corinthians were boasting in their particular gifts. Each individual had their own gift, and they felt that their gift was superior to the other one. Someone has since my gift is superior to your gift, that makes me superior to you. The flesh is the flesh, even when it puts on its Sunday clothes. The flesh is still the flesh. That, of course, led to division. They were using their gifts to promote their own agenda. That still happens today concerning the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But Paul exposes the foolishness of such thinking. He says there are diversities. Each member of the Godhead, they are one in purpose and one in nature, but they have their unique responsibilities in ministering to the church in a variety of diverse ways, but never without contradiction and always for this in the same direction. One of the ways that God works in our lives is not better than another. There are no bad ways for God to work in your life. And when He works, it's always for the good. The key to understanding this passage is these chapters is verse 7. Why does the Holy Spirit manifest Himself in these different ways? 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, so the person will feel real good about themselves and will have something to brag about among God's people. I hope your Bible doesn't say that. But these manifestations, however they present themselves, is given to each one for the profit of all. It's for the edification of the entire body. It's not even said to be given for the edification of the individual that has the gift, but it's for the edification of others. It is for the spiritual profit of the other members of the body of Christ, never for self-exaltation of the individual that's gifted. Now, the result of Spirit-led ministry, and if you come away with nothing else, you can write this down. You can underline it. The result of Spirit-led ministry will always be, Christy sometimes gets on to me about using superlatives in our conversation, and she's right in correcting me. But when we're talking about these things that are established by the Godhead, you can't use enough superlatives. The result of a Spirit-led ministry will always be the edification of others by an understanding of the will of God. Now, some will choose not to be edified. That's true. But the result of a Spirit-led ministry and yielding to that ministry will always be edification and an understanding of the will of God. That's why the Holy Spirit came. So if the Holy Spirit's moving, you don't test His moving and you don't test if it's the Holy Spirit by looking to see if you have goosebumps or not. Now, you may have goosebumps, but you test it by an understanding of the will of God. You test it by whether or not you are being spiritually built up and strengthened and cause to stand firm for the revealed will of God. Now, I think it's important for us to understand before we go any further that these corporate or body manifestations or body ministries of the Spirit are not intended, and this is where I think a lot of error comes from people who don't understand this. These gifts were never intended to be a substitute for the individual believer being led by the Spirit on a very personal level. Last week we saw that, didn't we? We saw the importance of each believer learning to hear and recognize and obey the voice of the Spirit. That's a personal thing. What we're talking about here is corporate ministry. But being led of the Spirit is something you need to learn to do, to yield to the Spirit, to hear His voice, as we expounded on that last week. But the manifestation of these body gifts of the Holy Spirit were never meant to replace that leading, that personal leading. They are meant to supplement that leading. These manifestations will encourage and confirm and support what the Spirit is personally directing in your life. But they're not meant to take the place of it. Sadly, there are many charismatics and Pentecostals that look to these body gifts for their primary, if not their sole, source for direction in their life. Anybody know people like that? If somebody doesn't prophesy over them, they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. If someone doesn't pray for healing for them, they have no confidence to go before the throne of grace and call upon the Lord for themselves. And saints, that's a sad thing. It's foolish. It's dangerous. It's contrary to the teaching of the Apostle Paul. There is an inordinate dependence and obsession with the body ministry gifts that Paul lists here and deals with in chapter 12 and 13 and 14. There's an inordinate dependence and obsession with these gifts that has led to countless abuses in doctrine and in practice. And that's exactly what the case was in Corinth, and that's why Paul's dealing with it. Just so you understand where I'm coming from, I'm going to give you a direct example of what I'm talking about between the personal and the corporate, and how you need to distinguish between the two. I believe that Jesus has given me a gift of teaching and preaching. Now, I expected an overwhelming amen, but just kidding. But I believe that he's given me that gift, or I couldn't stand here. I have nothing to brag in. I didn't study to get it. He gave it to me. I am accountable for it. To expound the Word of God publicly to God's people. It's my job description. That's my gift. Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, and please don't answer. Do you believe that my public, corporate preaching and teaching is helpful, necessary, and good? Now, hopefully, in your minds, you are able to say, yes, I do believe that. But having said that, and I believe that Scripture teaches that it is, but my preaching and my teaching is never to be a substitute for your own study and understanding of the Word of God. You see the difference there? My gift is public, and hopefully it is profitable to you. As I yield to the Spirit, it will be. And as you respond in the Spirit, you will be built up. So my ministry is ordered by God. It's public. It's ordered by God. It has a place in the scheme of His plan. But it is never to replace your own personal understanding and searching of the Word of God. If all you know about the Bible is what I tell you, you have put yourself in a very vulnerable position spiritually. You will be weak and you will fall. So you see, I'm not putting down the gift that I feel like I got from the Lord. He gave it to me. Why would I put it down? I'm not putting that down. I'm not belittling that. But I am understanding its position, its place. You need to do the same, not only with this gift of preaching and teaching, but this applies to all of these body ministries and all of these body gifts as well. They have a place. They are important. But they will serve to encourage and confirm and stir that which the Holy Spirit is already working in your life. Now, I will say this. There are times that my preaching and teaching may stir you to do and to think about a subject and to begin to search it out for yourself that you didn't before think about. That's true. So there are times when it will take you and stir you and kind of wake you up. But then it's up to you to take that, because we just scratched the surface. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. We're just scratching the surface. But many times you're stirred to go deeper and deeper. And sometimes the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in these different gifts will do the same thing. It'll stir you, but if you don't personally begin to look for the leading of the Lord in your life, if you have to have somebody tell you what the Spirit's saying all of the time, you're in a very weak, vulnerable position spiritually. May the Lord protect us from that kind of corrupted thinking which penetrates Christendom today. Much of the abuses we see among the charismatic and Pentecostals is exactly because of that reason. But unlike the fundamentalists, I'm not going to throw out the Holy Spirit because there are those who don't understand Him. I want to know the voice of the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. I want to receive any confirmation, any encouragement that He has in any other instrument that He wants to use. But I want to know the voice of the Lord for myself. The voice of the Spirit. In verses 8 to 11, the list there that he lists, those specific things. He lists 9 specific things. And there are those that are very dogmatic. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit and no more. And if you're of that persuasion, I'm going to have to disagree with you. Without question, there are 9 listed here. But once again, Paul was not trying to give a systematic teaching here on the gifts of the Spirit. He was dealing with an error in thinking and practice concerning why the Holy Spirit worked among God's people. I don't believe that the way in which the Spirit manifests Himself to the body of Christ is limited to 9. I believe I have scriptural evidence of that. But even if there wasn't specific information, the Holy Spirit is God. He's infinite. Don't limit the ways in which He works. Paul gives this list, but if you'll jump down to verses 27 to 31 of this same 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I believe Paul gives some other gifts and manifestations here that weren't a part of the 9 that he mentioned earlier, simply because he's given another example list here. And in this example list, he actually adds a few things that are also gifts from God. It doesn't specifically say the gifts of the Spirit here, but we already understand that the Spirit is the one that's in charge of equipping us and enabling us. So I believe these are also gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some are repeated, but notice some of the added ones. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. See, teachers and apostles weren't mentioned earlier. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, those are repeated, helps, that wasn't in the original 9 list, administrations, variety of tongues, that's a repeated one. The question is, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues in this body ministry aspect of tongues, do all interpret? The answer to those rhetorical questions is no. Those are individually given by the Holy Spirit as He sovereignly chooses. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And then it goes in, and what's that excellent way? Love. To be motivated by love. Paul makes the point here that there is diversity and unity. And he lists some more gifts and some more manifestations, repeating some of them. And so I believe that helps, administrations, teaching are also gifts that are given and enabled by the Holy Spirit for the profit of the body of Christ. Let's go to Romans 12, where I believe that we're given some more gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read the word gift here, and it is the same word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 12 in the Greek. Romans 12, verses 3 to 9. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts, same word from 1 Corinthians 12, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. Do you see? All of these are additional gifts to the nine that we had in 1 Corinthians 12. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. There again is the underlying power to minister these gifts in a way that honors God. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. The emphasis is that God is the source of true ministry, and he should receive all of the glory. So if we have any of these gifts, we have nothing to boast in. But notice also the humility that accepts the gifts from God. If God gives you that gift, you become accountable. It's his gift, and you are a steward over it. So there is every motivation for humility and dependence on God, dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to the body of Christ. We exercise these gifts to encourage and to stir and to edify our brothers and sisters in Christ. As a pastor, I learned real quick, I can't make anybody serve and honor the Lord. And if you don't learn that as a pastor, boy, you're going to get real discouraged real fast. But my responsibility is to proclaim, to exhort, to teach, to love. But when it's all said and done, it's the individual that has to respond to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their life. Thank God for faithful, loving servants and saints that have been instrumental in God dealing in my life. But when it was all said and done, I had to surrender. And the same is true with each individual. May we be faithful to minister to the body of Christ for the glory of God. May we do it with humility. Understand what a privilege it is to be a co-worker together with God. It's easy for us to feel sorry for ourselves. And once again, as a pastor, I have had many of those. We'll have many more. Self-pity parties, you know what I'm talking about. And then the Holy Spirit is so faithful to remind me, what are you thinking? It doesn't matter whether you think no one else appreciates what you're doing. You do this unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows what you're doing. He honors those who honor him, and what an honor it is to serve the Almighty God. And we need to remember that. And that's not just true of preachers. That's true of you. What a privilege it is to be able to be a member of this local body of Christ in order to minister to the body of Christ. And we all have many different ways in which we can do that. Some of them are more public than others. Some of them are not so public. But I still believe that they are every bit gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 4. because Paul listed the nine in the beginning of chapter 12, I believe there has been that inordinate obsession with them. There are those that believe they don't have church unless someone prophesies or someone has a healing line, and we just haven't had church and the Holy Spirit hadn't been here if you don't do those things. I don't believe that's true at all. There are those that refuse to ever have any of that. And I believe they're limiting God and they're missing out and failing to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to do what He wants to do. I don't want to go to either one of those extremes. I want to be right where God wants me to be personally, and in this local assembly, I want the Holy Spirit to do what He knows needs to be done. Because I can think I know. But once again, those are one of the things you either learn or you don't. But I know that He knows exactly what you need and when you need it and how you need it. And I want to be sensitive to that. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. It's a serious matter when we gather in Jesus' name. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Not cover them up, but will give the remedy and the antidote for it. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You had to add that last part, didn't you? I can be hospitable, but I like my grumbling. As each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, notice again, different gifts here, different abilities. Let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things, here's the key, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There again is the Trinity. The nine gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 are not necessarily better than any other graces that God bestows upon an individual for the edification of the body of Christ. Now, by saying that, I'm not downplaying those gifts in chapter 12. But I want us to upgrade our thinking of all the other ways in which the Holy Spirit ministers, that we don't despise or belittle them or ignore them. Back in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, if you'll turn there, if you're hopefully kept your finger there, but 1 Corinthians 12:31. We do have this statement by the Apostle Paul. Earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. We read that earlier. Now, I would have liked for the Apostle Paul to give me the list of the priorities of which one's better. But the Holy Spirit purposely didn't do that. Now, he does talk about prophecy in the public being better than just the gift of tongues when there's no interpretation. Because tongues with interpretation is basically the equivalent of prophecy. But he says it's better to prophesy than to speak in tongues, simply because why? What's the purpose of the corporate body manifestations of the Spirit in the local assembly? It's to edify all. If you just get up and speak in tongues and grab the attention of all of the saints, and yet there's no interpretation, there's no edification. There's no understanding. So that's why he does go on to mention prophecy being better in that case than tongues. But other than that, he doesn't go on to say which one's the best. The best gifts. And notice he didn't say the best gift. I believe that the best gift is the one that's needed at the moment. That's why we're not given a priority list here. And only the Holy Spirit really knows what we need and when we need it. There are times when I believe someone needs to hear a sermon in order to really begin to be stirred or encouraged or established in the Word of God, in the will of God. And the Holy Spirit will take that sermon and it'll just drive it home to make it so real and personal to them that that's exactly, they need to hear a sermon. There are other times when an individual a sermon would, it goes in one ear and out the other. Again, I know that. Because there are times when the Holy Spirit knows a person needs simply a helping hand in a matter. A love offering. A loving exhortation. Some mercy to be shown. All of those, I believe, are gifts of the Holy Spirit manifested to the body of Christ. Whatever is needed for the moment, the Spirit has the tool, He has the gift. Do you believe that? But if we try to put God in a box and always say, well, this is how the Holy Spirit has to work, and I'm not going to accept that. I don't want Him working that way because I'm not listening. You do that. Do you see how you're limiting God? But if you come before God and say, God, I want to know the will of God for my life. I want to learn to hear the voice of the Lord for myself, and then I want to be able to also accept any other instruments that He uses to encourage and to establish. Next week we'll answer the question, have these corporate miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit been done away with? Or are they still a part of how the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ today? Well, I say next week we'll answer them. I'll go ahead and answer them. But next week we'll give the scriptural foundation for it. The answer is simply, no, they have not been done away with. All of these that have been listed, Holy Spirit hadn't retired to one of them. They are still in operation today among God's people. But we'll look at the scriptural foundation for that next week. This morning, I simply want to close. I want to have a song in closing. But I want to close with this exhortation, that we need to learn to be more sensitive, not only to how the Holy Spirit works, but why. And when you understand why He works, then you'll be more open to how He works. The Holy Spirit is infinite. He has many different ways and many different instruments that He uses to lead us into the will of God. Is that your desire? I guess that's really where we need to start. What is your purpose of life? Why did you get up this morning? What is life all about? You need to know the will of God, His purpose for you in this life and in eternity. And if that's really your desire, then the next step is, I need to know and surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I need to know how and why He works. We need to understand the will of God. Surrender to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I begin to think about this, at the unlimited ways in which several passages we've read in this series show us God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working in our behalf. To me, it's a serious thing when God's people resist the Holy Spirit. It's a serious thing. Because then we begin to substitute that with our own carnal agendas. Our own carnal, even though it may be couched and cloaked in religious fervor, we begin to substitute our own carnal ways. Just like the Corinthians did. And it leads, they injected their own carnal agendas, self-promoting attitudes, and it led to chaos. To me, I'm overwhelmed and I'm humbled when I think that the Almighty God, because I believe God is God. He created everything from nothing. I believe that, saints. And when I begin to comprehend, or when I begin to contemplate the Almighty God, and when I read in the Word of God everything that God is doing and providing for me, a speck of dust on His universe, in order for me to know and to do the eternal will of God, I'm overwhelmed by that. It causes me to think. Let's read this in closing. Psalm 144. So you get my thought that I had as I contemplated how faithful the Spirit is to work among us and in us and through us. The psalmist David also was overwhelmed to think that God would even care what we're doing. Can you think about that? That God even cares what I'm doing. But not only does he care what I'm doing, he has provided everything I need and sent the Spirit himself to dwell within me in order to daily teach me and guide me and encourage me and help me. That overwhelms me. It overwhelmed David in Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Anybody try to train a young kid in anything, whether Little League or karate? It's a lot of patience to teach a kid something. The Almighty God trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress. Kind of an odd combination, isn't it? But I've found God to be both. Loving kindness and my fortress. My high tower and my deliverer. My shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. And yet this Almighty God cares about me. Now my response is this. Bruce, as we'll sing 378 here to close. If the Almighty God has gone to such lengths to reveal himself to us, to actively help and actively enable us to enter into the fullness of his grace and his favor, don't you think the least we can do is surrender to the faithful ministry of the Holy Spirit? It's the least we can do. First, on a personal level, to be led by the Spirit, and then to be sensitive to the corporate ministry that he has in the body of Christ, to know that we're not in this alone, and that we're part of something big and eternal. I want to close by singing an old familiar song, but I want us to sing it with this new this new purpose. I surrender all. If you truly surrender all, you will stop rejecting any way in which the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life, because you know why. Let's just sing all verses. It's a good message to the song. As we sing, come around these altars and let the Lord minister to your need this morning.